Matt Hopkins is one of the co-founders of Augustin Classical Academy in Mechanicsville. Matt grew up in Manhattan on the West Side and now lives in Stillwater.
Matt, so you've got another special guest with you in the station. Tell us his name. Who's here with you?
Joe Ferrito, a new teacher on staff at school, is with us here this afternoon. Joe grew up in Troy, so he's just kind of a homecoming for him.
All right. So tell my listeners, what exactly is Augustin Classical Academy?
So we are a 10-year-old independent school. We started in Clifton Park with 9 students 10 years ago and got out-rented twice. Folks saw us growing and thought we were a cash cow and jacked up the prices. And then we finally moved to Mechanicville, where life is a lot saner and slower. And the school's been growing there ever since.
So what makes your school different from the other schools, from a charter school, from a public school, from like a Catholic private school?
Sure. So first up, we're completely independent. So we have no affiliations. We're not teaching the state curriculum. We don't take any dollars from the state. So we're completely, entirely independent and can chart our own course. That's probably our first distinction that people are aware of. Secondly, pedagogically, we, as a classical school, what's meant by classical is just that which precedes the contemporary. We roll back to the educational philosophies that drove education before John Dewey. So about 150 years ago, John Dewey is the architect of contemporary education, and we roll back to pre him.
Well, you know, I keep looking over at my co-host, Dr. Guy. You're using all these professor kind of words here.
Pedagogy.
Pedagogy is teacher speak for philosophy.
Okay, see?
When philosophy enters a classroom, we call it pedagogy.
See, yeah. My listeners were wondering, what did he say?
So what are the differences between that pre-Dewey and pedagogy and contemporary pedagogy?
All right. So we are, our third distinctive is that we are a Christian school. Mm-hmm. So when we were looking to start a school, we looked around at available pedagogies, the models. Largely, if you look at the history of education in the Western world, there are just two to choose from. There's a contemporary John Dewey-esque models, and lots of them inspired by his thinking. And then there's that which came before. And there's about 1,800 years of remarkably consistent methodology based on something called the trivium. The trivium was an understanding, a historic understanding, that students developed through three distinct cognitive phases, whereas a contemporary John Dewey model talks about whole learning, kind of lumps all three together and puts an equal emphasis on all three through all age groups, whereas the historic model emphasized one mode of learning through those first 3 years, which they called grammar, and some people still call elementary schools grammar schools today. And we have, you know, where do those distinctions of 6 years of elementary school, 2 years of middle school, and 4 years of high school come from? That's a legacy of the classical understanding that students in those first 6 years are different from students in those middle two, and are different from students in those final four.
I always think of education as the three R's, right? Reading, writing, and arithmetic, even though it starts with an A.
Right. Gotcha.
Are you doing the three R's there? I mean,
People are absolutely learning those things. We have a very different take on that, but absolutely. When people come to our, they hear us talk and they maybe look at our website, they wonder, what in the world does this look like? And I think school doesn't look so crazy when you come see us. It's a little peculiar that, you know, seventh graders are taking logic. They take a full year of propositional and categorical logic. There are not many people doing that. When we started hunting for textbooks for high schoolers, there weren't any.
I think I took logic when I was in college.
Right, exactly. Okay. So it's a powerful thing when you teach seventh graders logic.
I'm scared.
Right.
A seventh grader.
Exactly. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. You know, our seniors are all write a senior thesis and defend it orally in front of a panel of experts. They take a year of formal rhetoric.
And what is formal rhetoric? What is
so
that exactly?
Rhetoric is simply the art of expressing yourself well.
So right? Public speaking.
Public speaking, but also writing. Rhetoric can be written, can be spoken. Absolutely.
So it sounds like a pretty intense program, probably very challenging for a student to go from a traditional school, let's say Troy High or Albany High.
Sure.
And then end up at your school. How do students do when they transition, they come into your school versus growing up through your whole program?
Like we call it coming in from the side, and we're still a very young school. So right now the first students that started in kindergarten and have been going with us all the way are now seventh graders. So most of our students have come in from the side, have come in from some other context.
This is better than coming in from the back.
Sure. There's no back door. Sure. And so the best answer there is it really depends on the kid, and more importantly, it depends on the families. And we often, just today, we interviewed a prospective family, and the question, when they ask that question, because they look around and they think, wow, is my kid, can my kid make it here?
Sure.
Reasonable question. Parents should be asking that. The answer we give them is really, it's up to you. What are you going to do? If you're really invested, then it will probably go well. Probably one kind of sub-distinction of our school is that we don't recruit students. We recruit families. So we really put a huge primacy on the role of parents. If there's a moment in every parent interview where I get in their face and point at them across the table and say, if you're looking for a client, pointing to them, provider, pointing to us, relationship, then we are not the school for you. There are plenty of people who will take your tuition check and let you abdicate your responsibility as a parent. But if you're committed to raising your kid and are looking for partners to help you and do that, help you doing that, then we would love to do that. And the other families in school would like to help you do that.
So families have to be really engaged in the educational development of their child in order to participate in your school.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd say it just like that, but certainly to be drawn. That's the people we draw. We draw people who, a lot of our families are people who wish they could just homeschool their kids themselves, but don't feel they have that expertise or the bandwidth or time. So we get a lot of folks who are really, really invested in.
So is it true that your program, your school grew out of the homeschooling initiative?
There were, I would not say that, although there are a lot of us with homeschooling roots. Mm-hmm. Those with homeschooling roots were primarily folks who were enamored with a classical pedagogy. There weren't any schools, so they were doing it themselves. And when we popped up, when we raised our heads and said, hey, we're thinking about a school, people came out of the woodwork saying, great, this is what we've been doing at home. We'd love to do it with other people.
So how many students do you have at the school?
We started with 9, 10 years ago, and we're at 111 right now.
And what schools do they go to? Where do they go to college? Do they go to trade schools after they finish with you? Or if we looked at your graduation rates, are they comparable to some of the charter schools or public schools in the area?
I don't think you'd say they were comparable. So this year we have two seniors, one going to Princeton, one's going to Hillsdale. Mm-hmm. Last year we had 5 seniors, Cornell, King's, University of Alabama, Christendom in Virginia, SUNY Stony Brook.
So I'm gonna stop grilling you now.
No, it's good.
Joe, tell me, what do you do at the school?
So I am the Latin and Christian teacher. So I teach 7th through 10th grade Latin courses.
You speak Latin, Joe?
Every day.
As good as I can. I studied 6 semesters of Latin in college. I didn't take it in middle or high school as our students are now. I didn't learn it until college, but I really like the language. It's not a dead language. It's very fun. And
so I'm going to do the dorky thing. All right, give me some Latin. Tell me, say something in Latin to me. Come on, I'm a dork.
Salve, hello.
Salve means hello.
You never use that like conversational Latin. I feel like it's always like cogito or whatever, but never the like, hi, how's it going?
For fun with my students, we'll often translate favorite parts of their stories or whatever into Latin. So a couple weeks ago, we did a funny line from The Hobbit, and they all loved it.
Huh. Okay, so that really speaks to where they are, right? The Hobbit is like,
sure.
So would they translate like conversation, like something they would say to a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Because, I mean, that's where my mind would be. Like, if I got a boyfriend, I want to try to speak.
Oh, you got like the secret language, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
Something your parents don't understand.
Our students don't roll that way. They take, everyone takes drama. And in the upper school, that means, and it's a credit-bearing class. They do a Shakespeare production every year. So these guys, their heads are packed with a lot of Shakespeare. They don't need Latin to impress a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They are loaded up with much, much great Shakespeare lines to do that work.
So is it different to be a teacher at this school versus at another school? I wonder about that experience as well.
Joe,
yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. To be honest, this is my first teaching job. I haven't taught anywhere else, so I'm not I can't really compare, but I really enjoy teaching at the school. The students are, they're not only very intelligent, but they're eager to learn. They always have a positive attitude. And just looking at where I was when I was their age, they seem light years ahead of where I was, not just in terms of what they know intellectually and just of history and logic and Latin, but also their own personal maturity, their growth into being an adult, into being an independent person, light years ahead of where I was when I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school.
So I'm going to ask a question I know some of my listeners are thinking about. Okay, so you're a classical school. That's great. You obviously are graduating students who are doing well and going to very established colleges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of Princeton.
You've heard of some of these places, Princeton, right? but I heard you say that you're also a Christian school.
Unapologetically
Christian. So suppose I'm not a Christian, but I want to take advantage of your school. I want to send my child. Is that a possibility, or does someone have to convert and speak in tongues and become a born-again Christian in order to join your school?
No tattoos, no test. But we philosophically, this is where we're at. And because of the nature of the school and our commitment to working with parents, you know, one of the big strengths of the school is that you got a bunch of people pulling in the same direction. And so while we have had exactly what you just described, folks who are not Christians in any way,
right,
you know, openly, you know,
whatever they believe,
loud and proud atheists,
right?
And we've looked at them and said, look, this is what we're doing.
Okay.
And if you can deal with this, if you're gonna can work with us and not against us, then you're welcome.
Okay. Interesting.
That's an interesting road. Our tent is huge. It's really, really broad. And so we, while that's our philosophy, that's our leadership, certainly doesn't limit who we hang out with.
And how diverse is your population? You're in Mechanicville, so I'm not going to say it's a pretty diverse area over there. But how diverse is your student population?
Intensely diverse. We've got everything from Roman Catholics to hardcore Calvinist Baptists. We've had our atheists. We've got Eastern Orthodox. We've seen, you name it, in terms of philosophical orientation, we're about as diverse as you get.
What about in terms of racial diversity?
Oh, skin color.
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, okay.
Matt,
okay.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Oh, got it. Yeah, we've got that too. We've got all different flavors.
So, yeah. African-American?
Like. Yeah.
Asian?
Yeah.
Latino?
Skinny on the Latinos. Got one.
Okay.
Yep, we've had more. Lots of it, that we're in the middle of a kind of an Asian wave.
Okay, and why do you think that is?
I think it's a population that values what we're doing.
Okay.
Pretty well aligned with where we're at as a school. Right. It's very interesting because obviously they're not rooted in the Western tradition, which we're all about. So that's a very interesting mix. They bring a very different take to the table, which is a lot of fun. Keeps us sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't. You have to. It's not guard your speech, but you have to be ready to give a good answer because they don't swallow everything.
And nor should they.
Nor should they. Exactly right. You get
you
in the echo chamber with a lot of people.
You may get an
African
American that's going to step up in there, and he's not going to swallow it either. Mm-hmm. Well, if I come in there, I won't swallow. I'm going to be like, okay, hey, what are you teaching? And I need, and I am the person that's going to ask 1,000 questions,
sure.
Right, guy?
Sure,
right,
sure.
Jonah?
This is true.
I'm going to ask a lot of questions, right?
I think people know. I think I made a joke earlier when you asked me about diversity, but I think it's actually not a joke. I think at our school, diversity means much more about diversity of thought than it is about, you know, the package it's in. And so I think we do diversity really well in terms of there are plenty of opportunities for disagreement just about every day, and we get plenty of opportunities to do so in a civil way, in a real thoughtful way, in a unapologetic, you know, this is where I stand and this is why. And I think we train the kids really well to be able to wade into those waters very well.
So Matthew W.T. Hopkins, headmaster, and Joe
Ferrio,
we thank you so much for joining us on the show and sharing a little bit about your academy. Tell my listeners where your academy is located, and if they want to reach out, how they can reach out to you.
Great. We are in Mechanicville, New York, so just north of Troy on the Hudson River. And you can reach us through our website, AugustinCA.org. But if you Google Augustine Classical Academy, that'll get you right to us.
And is there anything you want our listeners to know about your academy, thing we haven't covered, the most important you think thing they really should get from this interview tonight?
What's dearest to our heart is what we often call the primacy of parents. We believe that educating children is a parent's responsibility, and that when parents are engaged, that makes all the difference. And all right. that's our pitch, both for our school and for any school out there. Get the parents involved.
We thank you for joining us on WOOC 105.3 FM, Augustan Classical Academy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.